Praise the Lord, man. Children, you're dismissed your classes. Yeah. All right, man. It's really good to hear about how to live by faith because we forget how to do that, you know? So, I mean, that's one of the things I'm going to talk about here. Today is like kind of a continuation of last week, so I'm excited to minister this word. You know, the word says that when we speak the word, we're supposed to speak as an oracle of God. So if you listen and if you hear the word today, it'll change your life. And so we need to receive the word. Whoever's speaking it, we need to receive it as if God's speaking to us directly. And that's the awesome thing about when we come to the word is it's a time when God, the word of God, literally, like what his word is open to us and is spoken to us. So it's the giving of the word is a holy time, so it's important for us to posture ourselves. And I was telling the teenagers yesterday that, you know, we got to posture our hearts and our ears to listen and to hear and to receive the word. So let's do that today. I'll just open in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you today for your goodness. Father, we want to be taught by your word. I want to be taught by your word today. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence here and how he highlights in our lives and our hearts with the things that need to change. And Father, we want to be hearers of the word and doers. We don't want to just be hearers, Lord. We want to be doers. And Father, I pray today that we wouldn't deceive ourselves into thinking that we're Christians and that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing when we're just couch potato Christians. And I say in Jesus' name, we're not going to be couch potato Christians. We're going to be doers of the word.
Yes.
We're going to position our hearts, position our lives to actually act on the word. And so, Father, I thank you and I invite you, your Holy Spirit, to highlight those things in our lives that we would do and how we can act on the word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, you know what? I'm kind of tall. I'm going to actually grab a music stand. I think I'd know that by now. Whenever I play, you know, in a jazz band or whatever, like everybody else's music stands are there and I'm like up here and I was like, hey. Okay. Praise the Lord. I don't want to hunch over the whole time and try to read what I'm looking at. So today is kind of a continuation of last week, and I want to first off start with off some review. And man, there's so many things last week I wanted to say I didn't get a chance to say. So first we're going to start, what the title of the message was the creative arts and the kingdom of God. And you know, we started Intercourt Creative, which is really exciting. And so I'm going to talk about that. A little bit of review, but also it really ties into guarding our hearts. And I had an opportunity yesterday to talk to the teenagers, Jordan, Noah, and Marcy. It was awesome. And we missed you guys, Amy and Megan, we missed you guys, but I'm sure you had a great time. And we missed Isaac and Israel too. But so you guys get hear it now. And so I'm going to talk about how to guard your heart. What I talked about yesterday was how to draw close to the Lord. And so the creative arts and entertainment, it all ties into that. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Basically, the whole theme of this is, what do you want your life to be founded on? Do you want your life to be founded on something that is subject to change? Or do you want it to be founded on the eternal? So I read the parable, you know, of, I'm sure we've all heard it, about the two men who built their houses. One built his house on the sand, and the other man built his house on the rock. And when the storm came, you know, it washed away the guy with the sand. Actually, let's go there. Matthew chapter 7. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Because this is really what it is. It's about what do you want your life to be founded on. So it's Matthew 7, verse 24 through 29. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, just like what I was just praying, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we have two men. One built his house on the rock. One built his house on the sand. And so we have to ask ourselves, what kind of person do you want to be? You know, what kind of man do you want to be? What kind of woman do you want to be? Like, do you want your life to last? Do you want the things you build to last? Do you want your your hard work to last. And yes, definitely. Like who would say they didn't? So that's what we talked about last week. So today, we're going to talk about that again. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what is really going to last. We know from Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I like the Amplified because it says, seek, aim at, and strive after first all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. That's really cool because it's like, when we talk about the kingdom of God, it's like kind of nebulous and kind of religious sounding, and it's like, ooh, kind of abstract, like Dad was talking about, but, you know, in our prayers. But it's like, you know what? What is the kingdom of God? It's finding out how God does things and how he's right all the time. And so it's not just all of a sudden we're praying for your kingdom come, your will be done. We're saying, wait a minute, what does God do? And last week I said, you know, if you could find out what a successful person, like what their daily agenda is, how their action system is, all these important things, like I guarantee you, if you put them to practice in your own life, you would become more successful than you are today. And so in the same way, like, we got to say, wait a minute, Reese Howes and Samuel Howes, they had success in prayer. So we got to say, wait a minute, what are we doing wrong? You know what I'm saying? What are we doing that we can change? Because that's the bottom line, and that's been stirring my heart since, like, January. It's like, you know what? If we're serving the living God, like, we need some prayers answered. You know that song we were singing today, our God is greater, our God is stronger. I was just thinking, man, those words are condemning words in a culture that doesn't believe in the Lord. Yes. Because we're saying that Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, is above all other gods. Right. He's above Allah, he's above Buddha, he's above all the Hindu gods, he's above atheism, he's above secular humanism, he's above conservatism, liberalism, he's above communism, like he's above everything.
That's right.
And God, you know what I'm saying, that's a challenge. You know, we're challenging the world. You know, we got this sign out here, and I haven't heard any feedback yet, but it says, meet Jesus. You want to meet Jesus, come in here. I've seen people kind of look at it. They're like, okay, and they just keep walking. But it's like, we're challenging the world. And so, like, if we don't get our prayers answered, like, what's the point? Right? Because what's the difference in us and, you know, going to, well, you know, we believe that we serve the same God as the Jews, but why aren't you in a synagogue today? Why aren't you, you know, meditating somewhere yesterday with the Hindus? Or on Friday evening, why aren't you in a mosque? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the difference? But the Bible clearly says, you know, Jesus, either he was crazy or he was Lord. Because he said, I am God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Right?
Yeah.
Jesus said some pretty crazy things. He did. It's like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, if anybody you knew started saying that kind of stuff, you just think, the guy's nuts. Because I know myself, I am definitely not God. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, you know, and I'm saying either this guy's crazy or he's not human completely, you know. The word says that Jesus is fully God, fully man. So that's a challenge. So we got to seek first God's kingdom and it's his way of doing things and being right, right? Like we talk about how to pray, how to live by faith. We need review constantly. Jesus talked about how to say things. Like I'm stepping on my notes ahead of here. But Mark 11 talks about Jesus said, he spoke to the mountain. He said, be removed. Be cast into the sea. He said, do not doubt in your heart, but you know, believe those things you say will be done. You know, Jesus said, you can have whatever things you say. That's the way God does things. He speaks things into existence. He starts declaring, you know, the word says that Jesus, that the Lord declares the end from the beginning. And so we can start declaring our end from the beginning, you know. The word says, you know, though my beginning was small, my latter end will increase greatly. So, and the only way to do that is to know, you know, I had a section last week I talked about a word to the creators, you know, and this message is really not just for creative people, like, who think they're creative, you know. It's, you know, I think everybody has some kind of creative outlet, or could. I think it's important, because, I mean, here's the thing, we are created to be like God, because he said, I'll create them in my image. Yesterday, I was telling the teenagers, you know, this is how I think of it. We're spirit, soul, and body. Like, we are triune beings. We are. And God is a triune being. You know, and so we're created to be like him. We have a spirit, we have a soul, which is our emotions and our thinking, understanding, and then we have a body. And you know, our body really desperately needs to be saved. You know? And maybe even more so our soul. And you know, the word says that we're being renewed day by day, and that's why we have to get the word of God in our hearts. Because when that evil day, that storm of life comes, you have to, I was telling the kids yesterday, you know, I was like, hey, you guys gotta, if you know, you get these thoughts, you know, and I was saying, sometimes you're just sitting there and you just have a random thought. You're just staring at a tree. You're like, ooh, I could take an axe to that tree. I don't know why I had that thought. Or for instance, I say, hey, you look at, I was in the great room in my house and I was like, I looked at the glass and I was like, so kids, I was like, hey, I could just, I get this thought in my mind. I could take a sledgehammer to that glass. You know what I'm saying? Well, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you're going to act on it. Because that's ridiculous. Like, why would, first off, that's, you know, that would not make Dad happy. It wouldn't make me happy, because then I would have to pay for it. There's, you know, that's one of the things is people don't, most people don't act on these silly ideas because there's consequences. You know what I'm saying? But the devil gets people to the point where they don't care. They don't care what the consequence is. But just because you have a thought doesn't make it your own. Just because you have a thought, you know, doesn't make you have to identify yourself. I'm just a glass smasher. That's all I am. You know, you're like, that's all I'll ever be is a glass smasher. You know, or like, I just chop trees. I can't help it myself. I'm just a tree chopper. You know, you just have these thoughts, and you're just like, man, I'm just such a low-down tree chopper person. Wow. You know? And it's like, what, really? Like, you just had a thought. And whatever that thought is, you know what I'm saying? It could be anything. And, you know, you start talking about other things, you know. The thing that we're going to start seeing here with the explosion of, you know, the floodgates in the professional sports world is homosexuality. Like, that's going to start exploding because the floodgates open now. So, I mean, just because you have a homosexual thought doesn't make you a homosexual.
That's right. That's,
you know,
that's
just right. Just because you have these thoughts, it does, and then you start identifying yourself that way.
That's right.
Or even here, this, here's the thing. I mean, you say, oh, I don't have money right now. That means I'm poor. You know, it doesn't.
That's right.
And then the only way you could know that that's not the truth is because you read the word.
That's right.
So we got to guard our hearts. I mean, you know, everybody screws up. Everybody in this room is not without sin. So, I mean, just because you sinned and you're now in the blood of Jesus, that doesn't make you a sinner. You know what I'm saying? So when the devil says, you're a sinner, you're a jerk, you know, all this stuff, and he said, no, I'm not, because I'm clothed in the righteousness of God. You know, he said he's given me the garments of salvation, the robes of righteousness. So you throw off the condemnation and you say, no. You need to repent, get it cleansed if you're, you know, screwing up right now. But that's how things are. So that was the word to the creators. Like, we are creators. Like, we're not independent of God, and that's where humanism is wrong. Is, you know, and like the whole New Age affirmation stuff, they say, I'm just going to say, you know, I'm a beautiful person, I'm rich, and you're just like watching down the street and you're saying these things, you know, your affirmations, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? There's only to a certain extent where that will work. And a lot of people have succeeded in their positive thinking and all this stuff because there's a power in that stuff. If you read Proverbs, you find out there's power in that. But you know what? What happens if the government goes crazy? You know, I had that thought yesterday. It's like, you know what? I believe now in the U.S., anybody can really be successful if they, you know, give it time, give it hard work. You know, sure. I believe you can be. But you know what? For eons is the wrong word, but for decades and hundreds of years, people were like, okay, Middle Ages, you think about that. Like, there were ways to prosper. Or like, you know, serfdom in China back in the day. Like, they could not think themselves out of it. You know, the slaves here in the United States, you can't think yourself out of it. You can't be positive enough. And in our own lives, we got our own strongholds of thinking. Like, you can't think yourself out of it sometimes. That's why we have to have the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not us. It's not our positive thinking. And then you got to get plugged into the Word of God and start finding out what the Word says. And that's what breaks the yoke. Is that thought comes and says, you know, you're poor, you're always going to be poor, you're always going to be broke, you're always going to be in lack. You say, no. The word says, the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he has no sorrow with it. The word says, everything I put my hand to will prosper. You know, you got to start replacing these things. I was telling the kids yesterday, you have to replace. You can't just, let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:22. And I was like, wow, I started I see Jordan back there. Where's Noah? Noah's back there. Is Marcy here today? Okay, well, I was telling these guys, I was like, wow, you know, these are really formative years. Like, Megan and Amy, you weren't there yesterday, but like, man, the teenager years are like, those are the years where you can make the biggest mistakes that will shape the rest of your life, or the best choices that will choose, that will help you choose the righteousness. And I was saying, you know what? I was saying, can you, you know, I've been pretty faithful with the Word of God every, you know, I'm 26, and I know you guys have, can't imagine yourselves probably being 26 right now. Can you, Megan? She can't imagine it. How old are you?
14.
Amy, how old are you? 15. Yeah, they're like, oh, you're old. You probably think I'm old, huh? You probably think I'm old. Well, it's a little bit of contrast. You might, you know, like, you might not even comprehend my parents' age right now. But I think maybe, maybe you could comprehend maybe a little bit my age. You know? So, I was just saying, what if, this is really important for the young people in the room. It's like, you know what? Can you see yourself 10 years from now, having read the Bible pretty much every day for 10 years? Like, what would be the difference? Would that be good or bad if you had either chosen to do that for 10 years or not done it for 10 years? Like, I think that would change your life.
It would change.
Like, if you look, you know, yes. You know, if 10 years from now, you know, you come up and I have you come up and you say, you know what? I decided to serve the Lord, and I did it when I was 14 or 15 or 13 or 16, and say, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord for the next 10 years. You know, it's a life choice, and it might sound big and hard right now, but it's a life choice, and I think that will impact the rest of your life.
It will.
Because the teenage years are so important to choose life.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's what I said yesterday, is, you know, the Lord, in the Old Testament, he said, today I present to you life and death. Choose life.
Yeah.
So it's, you know what, you can either choose your affirmations and just, you know, go to high school and just kind of see how things turn out and just hope for the best. Or you can read Proverbs every day. And then it says, you know, open to it. And you're just reading Proverbs and you're like, oh, it's the fifth day of the month. So I'm going to open to Proverbs chapter 5. And let me see what Proverbs chapter 5 has to say. And it's before school or, you know, whenever the Lord tells you to do it. It's good to do it in the morning. For instance, it says 5, you know, it's talking about adultery, you know, and the word says, my son, pay attention to my word, lend your ear to my understandings. And it's talking about, it says, you know, verse 20, for why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of the seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. So you know what? Hey, or you're like, oh, way, man, I got to make sure that I'm not, you know, getting involved with, you know, people who are not serving Jesus. You know, I told the teenagers yesterday, so this is kind of like youth group 2.0. It's like, you know what? It's like, just get it. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, it says, do not marry a foreign woman. And in our modern day, this means do not even contemplate a relationship with somebody who's not in love with Jesus.
That's right.
Like, first off, if they're not saved, if they're not a Christian, don't even think about it. Like, I don't care if you're attracted to them. Just forget it. Just don't even, just get out of your mind. Because here's the thing, if you start to get attracted to, it doesn't be a boy or girl, and you know, you start to get attracted to somebody who's not saved, like that is not going to be a good relationship. Because we know from the Midianites, they came and they intentionally tried to pull the Israelites away from the Lord because they seduced the man and they were serving false gods. And so like, I encourage you teenagers today to listen up. Just put in your heart, I'm gonna marry a woman or a man who loves Jesus.
Yes.
They have to be a Christian. And that's just the way it is. And that's what the Lord said, do not do this. There was actually one instance where they read the law. Okay, this still shocks me. They were not serving the Lord for a long time, and they pull out the law, and then they find this part which says, do not marry foreign women. I'm not saying foreign women who are saved, great. So it's not foreign in the sense of foreign. It's, you know, Bernhardt and Lisa. Great example. You know, the British, you're not foreign. The British are not foreign. So anyway, but there was one instance where they actually read the law, and I don't know how this, you know, ties into theology, but they had a heart for the Lord, and it says they put away their wives and their children. Like, what? How powerful is that? Like the men, they said, we're going to serve the Lord heart and soul, tooth and nail, and see ya. Like, that's kind of awesome that they would, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have to tie, you know, factor that all into your theology or whatever, but they were going to obey the Lord.
If nothing else, they stand as a testimony to all the people, Christians today, who will not make a choice to marry a Christian.
Right. Right.
I mean, they are a testimony to say, we did this at the point of pain and broken lives to serve God. What excuse do you have?
Right. So, I mean, what are you going to do to serve the Lord? Like, what are you going to sacrifice? Now, just to be clear, the Bible says in the New Testament, you know what, if you're married and you're a Christian, your husband or wife is not, you know what, who knows, they might be saved because of your faith.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't break the marriage covenant just because I'm saying they did that Old Testament.
That's right.
Just so you know.
That's right.
Just want to cover my bases. Okay.
You gotta cover the bases.
So that's a word to the teenagers, and that's really important, you know, to just come to that decision to serve the Lord. So what kind of man or woman are you going to be? Are you going to base your life on things that will last? Or are you going to base your life on something that's going to fade away? And so this is an eternal issue. Let's look to Hebrews 9. It says, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." So it's, you know what, that's your answer to, you start talking to people who believe in reincarnation, et cetera. No. The Word of God says it's appointed to die once. So this is all you got. This is the life you got. You better do your best serving Jesus. So we say, wait a minute, I want to put my life on the eternal things. And also, I want to read Romans 2, 3 through 6. And it says, "And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God?" So he's saying, do you think that you're going to escape the judgment of God? Do you think that? Some people do. You know, they mock Christians. They say, whatever, hell's not real. I'm going to go live in hell and party. No, you're not, because you can't escape the judgment of God. "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" That's so awesome, because he's saying, not only do you think that you're going to escape judgment, like you're like mocking God's goodness, because God has provided forgiveness. So God is long-suffering. He wants to forgive you of your sins. And it's like, I'm going to just mock you because, first off, I think I'm a God myself, and I can do my own buffet, smorgasbord religion. You know, I do some meditation over here in Eastern stuff, blah, blah, blah. Maybe some Jesus on Easter, you know, but that's too much because they're a little bit too judgy, you know? And then, oh, what I really like is the Force. You know what I'm saying? For those of you, was it Star Trek Day or Star Wars Day the other day? No. It's like, no. No, you can't have buffet religion because you're not a God unto yourself. Okay? So let's continue here in Romans 2, 3 through 6, verse 5. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God," and this is amazing, "who will render to each one according to his deeds." That's a powerful witnessing verse there. God will render to you your deeds. Okay? And let me speak to this thought in our culture. And it's a prevalent thought in humanity. And maybe in our Western culture it is, you know, expounded upon and like popularized, our pop culture cow we're going to kill here. From like Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol, where the basic idea, it's a great story, but the basic idea without Jesus is that if you're good enough, if you help the poor enough, if you give enough money away, then somehow you'll get to heaven. Or your chain will be smaller in hell or something like that. It's that good works mentality. And that's a prevalent idea. I mean, the Muslims, they live for that, you know? Unless, of course, they kill somebody in a bomb and then they go straight to heaven and get their 70 Virginians, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, or nuns or whatever you want to say, whatever the jokes are. Anyway, so it's like God's going to render to each one of us according to our deeds. So here's the thing. Do you want to be judged by what you've done? No, not at all. Like, because the word says that even a small sin, like, it separates us from the presence of God. I mean, that's awesome. Like, you could be the nicest, most goodiest, two-shoesiest person on this earth, Maybe just ever lied once. Just once. Or maybe, you know, cursed just one time. You know, we're all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So, and this is the thing is, today, if you're hearing this, do not despise, like, do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? So your options today are, hey, do you want to be judged with your own, like what you've done? Or, here's the other option, is because everyone will be rendered according to his own deeds, Jesus made a way for us to be rendered according to his deeds. And that's what it comes down to. So the Bible teaches us that if we reject Jesus as the Savior of sins, then we have no alternative but to pay an eternal punishment for them ourselves. So it's like, hey, duh, like what do you, today you're here in life. As I said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, I want to talk a bit more, but this is an important point right here. I want to just like invite anybody who wants to receive Jesus to receive him, because it's, hey, you know, it's like, I'd rather have rendered to me what he did than what I've done. And it doesn't matter if you're a big sinner or a small sinner. So let's just pray together, and I encourage you right now, if you want to receive Jesus, like you need to say this and believe it from your heart. So everybody repeat after me. Father in heaven, I want rendered to me, I want it done to me what Jesus did. And not what I did. And I receive you right now. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe he died. And he rose again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's just that simple. Thank you, Lord. So it's important also, if you receive Jesus for the first time, you need to say something. You need to tell people. I have a few minutes left. I'd like to talk a bit about comparing and contrasting the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. And this, before that, last week, let me read Philippians 4:8. This is the key verse. I think it's powerful. It's like a message for the creative arts. And our lives, too. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that's part of the, what are we founding our life on? You know, what are we going to found our lives on? So what we're doing is we're comparing the eternal and the temporal. Drop page. Let's talk about guarding our heart. That's really important. And that's kind of what I talked about yesterday with the kids, you know. Let's turn to Proverbs 4:20. You know, it's always good to hear this again, because life is like a wave of the ocean. Like, you go back and forth. And just today, hearing about how to believe the Lord for something, that's so important. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." So, I was talking to the kids about meditating. We got to meditate on the Word. And the Bible teaches us that we have to give attention to the Word. And my example was, you know, Amy and Megan, I'll just use you, okay? Because you weren't there yesterday. Is that if your mom says, "Megan or Amy, you know, I got to talk to you," like, it's like, okay, mom, let me turn up the music and the TV and then go for it. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. Because if your mom's, if she's like going to say something important to you, it's probably going to be like, you know, do your homework or do the dishes or something like that. But it's important because she's your mom. And so basically, like, the Word says, give attention to my words. You're not going to say, okay, God, let me turn up the TV and the music and then go for it. And I'll put the Bible on a pedestal somewhere that's gold, and then they'll do it, you know? It's like, no, this is not how it works. Giving attention to something is putting aside all other things and giving time, quality time, to what the Lord's saying to you. And then it says incline your ear. You know, if you're doing something, probably super important, you know, like, I don't know, video games or whatever, and then your mom's like, hey, you know, Isaac, he knows. You know, it's like, you're playing, like, something really important, you know, like, whatever it is, Mario Kart, I don't know what you play. And there's, your mom's like, hey, Isaac, you're like, you just keep playing, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. But it says incline your ear. So what do? If you have to, you turn it off or turn it down or pause it, and then you have to, like, you know, give your attention or, like, put your ear. So what's that, Mom? What did you say? Could you say that again? Because I missed what you said. I didn't hear it. So that's what we do when we read the word is we say, wait, God, I didn't hear that. Say it again. I'm focused now. I turn off the radio. I turn off the TV or whatever. Sometimes you got to turn off your thoughts. How many of you have read a chapter and you're just like, I just don't even know what I just read. I have no idea. Like the last two or three chapters of Matthew, I don't know. I just was like, I wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? It's like Matthew speaking to you. And then like, I was thinking about something else or I just wasn't, you know? And so sometimes you got to just, you know, receive the peace of God and then say, no, I'm going to understand this. So that's what meditating is. I talked to the kids and let me get to this verse. I don't think I actually read it. 2 Timothy 2:22. Okay, this is super important for kids, for young people, for me, for everybody. You know, and it says, flee also youthful lusts. Okay, you don't have to be youthful to have to flee youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I said here, it's like, when we say the word meditation, what do people think? They think, you know, sitting on top of a hill, humming, and then like just like picture like a white room. Go to your happy place. That's what people think in our culture. Okay, now that's a really stupid idea, okay? I knew a guy. I don't think any of you know him, but anyway, he wasn't really one of my friends. But he was a Christian, okay? And so I was in his room or something because I was visiting my friends, and so something came out about his lifestyle that he chose afterwards, okay? Like, I was telling you about the whole professional sports, okay, that kind of lifestyle is coming out now. And he was into meditation. Like, not he was supposed to be a Christian, but he was into meditation. And what does that tell you? If you start emptying your mind and not meditating on the Word of God, you're going to start opening yourself to foreign spirits that are not, you know, the Word says God does not, he's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. And so you start meditating on a white room, you know what I'm saying? You're opening, that's what really they do, is they open themselves to the demonic to get empowered by the supernatural world. Because the supernatural world's real. You know, and that's the thing, is the devil, he's not a gentleman. If you go to, you know, a Wicca ceremony or to like a people who do hexes and magic, you go to a palm reader, you go to, you know, tarot cards, you do these kind of things, the devil's going to jump on it. Because it's like the demonic sometimes, he wants to do something faster and harder, whereas the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman. He wants you to invite him. He wants you to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to believe for? You got to give him time and attention. Yeah. And then you got to turn off the radio, turn off the TV, and listen to God. Whereas the devil, man, he'll jump on you if you let him. If you just give him, just, you know, when they talk about, you know, the camel, he gets his head in the tent, and he's in the tent. You know, if you open the door, you're going to be like, whoa, how'd that camel get in here? You know? And I don't have time to preach on curses and all that stuff today, but man, if you got witchcraft, occult stuff in your life, man, you better get it out fast. Because, I mean, the devil, he'll get in. And it's kind of exciting because it's like, you know what? The demonic is evidence that the Lord is alive and real. You know what I'm saying? And the devil, he twists the good. Because he's an imitator. Okay, so basically what I'm trying to say is in meditating, it's not about removing things from your thoughts. There's a principle in our realm that we live in, if you want to call it that, is it's like a vacuum. Like, there always something has to be filled. Like, you know, if you remove something, you got to replace it with something else. And that's just, it's a principle of physics, it's a principle of everything. That's why I think why God wants us to meditate on his word, because otherwise you're going to be meditating on something else. How many of you just like kind of sat there sometimes when you're trying to pray and you're just like, you're like, and you just like want to be all mythical and like have this experience. Like, we want to have a supernatural experience because we're designed to experience a supernatural God. But it's like sometimes you're just like, man, I better get a bowl of Wheaties right now, because like... this is like, I'm either going to fall asleep or I'm going to start thinking about something else that I don't need to be thinking about. You know what I'm saying? So God doesn't want us to just sit there and stare off into space. There's a time when we need to wait on the Lord and humble and quiet our hearts before him. That's important, but that's different. We're not supposed to just empty our mind, because here's the thing. When we put the word into our hearts, in those times where we sit and like when we're just doing that worship there, and that's a time when we can expect words, is Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would remind us of things that he said, right? So if you don't have anything in you, the Proverbs say that it's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. So we have to fill ourselves with the knowledge of the Word of God, because then the Holy Spirit will say, just that verse right there that I just said, you know? But if you didn't know that verse, you'd be like, hmm. So we got to get the Word in our hearts. So it says... in 2 Timothy, he says we have to flee, but you can't just flee bad things. You have to do something else. It says we have to pursue righteousness. So it's like you flee something, you pursue something else.
That's good. That's really good.
And so that's what meditating is. It's like we got to meditate on the word, not your problems, not your worries, not your fears, not the things that are going on in your life, but meditate on the word of God.
That's good.
And so just a word to the teenagers again. Is, you know, what are the lusts of life? You know, it's sex, it's money, it's glory. And those are all great things, but outside of the context of righteousness, you know, outside of the marriage covenant, outside of, you know, Jesus said, you want to be great? Fine. That's good. Everybody has a desire to be great, I think, on some level. Jesus said, great. But this is what greatness is. It's being a servant to all. So Jesus didn't say, you can't be great. What are you smoking? Like, I don't know what you're thinking. Like, Christians should be humble and should be treading over. And you know, it's like, well, we're supposed to be humble. But if you're a servant, like the Pope, okay? Dad and I are becoming Catholic followers, actually, because it's like, this guy is like washing people's feet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa. You know, like you start to see Christianity, like true faith, like what Jesus wants us to be doing. And so, you know, sex, glory, and money are good things. But we gotta, outside of the right context, we gotta pursue righteousness first. Right? And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So that's what we gotta do. And so I was telling, and this is a really loaded verse. So teenagers, listen up. It says we have to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Okay, so that last part is talking about friends, okay? So Amy, Megan, and Noah, and Jordan, and any other teenagers in the room. Isaac, where's your brother? Okay, so it says we got to pursue these things with people who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. So, I mean, just look around you. Like, this room is full of those kind of people who are pursuing the Lord with a pure heart. So it's like, hey, these safe people. Like, you know, people in this room, we're safe. You can hang out with us. You know what I'm saying? You can pursue the Lord with us. And as teenagers, it's really, you're impressionable by other people. Like, you want to fit in. You want to be cool. And so when you're around kids who you think are cool, but they're not serving the Lord, like, you have to start building an internal track, what Dad talks about. It's like, you know, a racetrack. You're, like, running around. And most teenagers, they don't have, it's like the woods. There's like a tree here, tree here, tree here, and there's like a big hill. And they're just kind of wandering around, you know? But then you say, wait a minute, Matthew said I should read Proverbs every day. Okay, maybe that's a good idea. So all of a sudden you're like, hey, I sort of see like kind of like a pathway just like in this wilderness. And then the more you run on it, the more it's like, oh, now this is like a racing track. It's like a pavement. And so then when you get the jerk, you know, jerky friend that you think is cool, I've had that in too, you're like, hey, that guy's cool. And then you get into it, you're like, wait a minute. I'm just starting to realize now, I'm 26, and I'm starting to realize, you know what, just a second, like, this is a better lifestyle. Yeah. This is better. Like, you don't have to be cool. You have to be anointed and walking in God's will. And so you start to, the Proverbs starts to say, and you're reading Proverbs, the track, right? You're running. And then you read a verse one day, and it says, hey, it says, I should have friends that aren't angry.
Yes.
It says, with an angry, yeah, listen up, girls, listen up. Are you listening? I'm your teacher right now. Unfortunately, I can't give you grades. I can give you, oh, good. Okay, maybe there'll be an assignment. So you're running on this track, right? Right, Amy and Megan, right? It's like a track. And then you run in, and then you're like, oh, this proverb says, with an angry man, don't go. So you're like, hey, this, you know, my friend, this girl or guy, like, he's angry all the time. Like, I'm not going to hang out with him anymore because the Bible says that bad morals corrupt good character. Yeah. So if you're starting to get in with friends who are, you know, wanting to do drugs or don't honor their parents, Lord bless them. Thank you, Lord, for sending your help. So if you're hanging out with friends who are wanting to have, you know, sex outside of marriage, or they're running with people who want to do drugs, or they don't want to do their homework, you know what I'm saying? They don't care about succeeding in life, or they, you know what? Like, they don't even care about, you know, thinking about college because they don't want to do that or whatever. You know, like, people who don't, they don't want to succeed. They want to hang out, party, drink alcohol, underage. Like, just like, no, I'm not hanging out with you. Because the proverb says, I shouldn't do that. The Proverbs, and that's, you run on this track, and then all of a sudden, you know, a couple days into it, it says, with, you know, a companion of the wise will be wise. So there's that law of association. Is if you hang out with wise people, you're going to be wise. If you hang out with sinners, you're going to be a sinner.
That's right.
If you hang out with alcoholics, you're going to be an alcoholic. If you hang out with poor people, you're going to be poor. If you hang out with people who do illicit sex and drugs outside of marriage and all that stuff, drugs outside of marriage. Wow. I guess that's true now. Well, you know, the president has said it's okay to have sex outside of marriage if you're 15. That's fine.
Right.
Because we're just going to give you a pill that fixes everything.
Right.
Like, how evil is that? It's immoral.
It's
okay. So even if the president says it, you know, you're running around this track and you're just like, wait a minute, the president's wrong. Sorry, Mr. President. I don't need to respect you. You know, I'll give you a citizen salute or whatever. But you're wrong. And the Bible says, you know, that those who call good evil and evil good, that's wrong. So my prayer for you is that you'd be removed from office peaceably and soon, hopefully. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, you know, I got that verse the other day. I read, okay, this is getting political. But it's tied in, okay? And I was reading, you know, for those of you who, how do you know Planned Parenthood? Does anyone know about them?
Yeah.
Basically, they endorse abortion, they provide for it, and then Planned Parenthood is planned murder. That's what it is. Okay? The president was at their Planned Parenthood thing, and he said, you know, he gave, you know, we're in this fight together. We're going to support, you know, a woman's right to choose for her health, which means she can commit murder if she wants. And then he said, God bless you. And he said it twice, God bless you. And the first verse that came in my heart was, let his days be few, and let him be removed from office, let his place be taken by another. So for the microphone, this is not, you know, I don't wish the president physical harm. It's just simply, let his days be in the presidential office few. Because we don't want him in the office anymore. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. Like, we stand on the word of God, which values life. So when you start trivializing these things, that's a very dangerous place to be. So let's pray for our president that he would make good choices. And there's still time. I mean, we still have to, you know, 3 years left. So we'll see. So praise the Lord. Man, I'm getting stuff out of this. So I could keep going. Whew, basically. Well, let's read Luke 6:45 real quick. And I'm almost done here. You know, they say you preach yourself happy, and you know, I preach myself happy. So if anybody thinks I'm pointing at you, I probably am, but I'm pointing at myself because it's encouraging me and it's stirring me up to read, to serve the Lord on a higher level. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So we have to guard our heart, because what we want to come out of our heart is good. You know, Jesus said, you're not defiled by what goes into your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. So if you're meditating on, just evil movies, whatever the rating may be, it could be PG, it could be PG-13, it could be R-rated. You know, if you're meditating on those movies constantly, I mean, I was just thinking about the other day, man, how scary it is that people are all around this country watching terrible movies all the time. That's just scary.
It's scary.
So, but we got to meditate on the good things. And then what comes out of our heart, those the things that are the lovely and pure and of a good report, if we meditate on those things are going to edify us and purify us. And when we speak to somebody, it's going to edify them too. So basically, you can put garbage into your heart, and what are you going to expect? You're going to expect garbage out. So garbage in, garbage out, life screwed up. The word in, the word out, your life is fixed up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's close, and I want to pray for us that we, the Lord, you know, it doesn't matter what we've done in our lives, because that's the whole message of salvation, that the Lord would cleanse us of our sins. So Father, we just want to thank you today, Lord, whatever level we have walked in the past, Lord. Lord, it's important for all of us to guard our hearts, Lord. And Father, I pray from the youngest, Lord, the teenagers to the oldest, Lord, that we would all, Lord, that you'd stir us up today by your Holy Spirit, and that we'd choose to flee the things of the world and pursue righteousness. And Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord.